Which way is the jail from here, Ed? You know?
Right over there. It's that little stone house over there. Oh. Constable lives in the house right next to it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, kind of nice ride the bus from Corn Center to Squidville, ain't it?
Wasn't none too good for my dyspepsy.
No, you and your dyspepsy.
Well, I'm supposed to set quiet for an hour after I eat.
Well, an hour ain't no setting for you. 2 or 3 hours is more like it.
Can't neither.
Oh, it is. And you're about the quietest setter I ever see.
Look out that mud hole there.
Yeah, sure.
I'll let you squash right into it.
Looks like Squidville's had a right bit more rain than Corn Center, huh?
It does look a little like it.
Did you notice the racetrack when we passed the fairgrounds?
Yes. I guess there ain't been no races since the one we had Flash in.
Yeah. You notice that lot inside the track?
No, what about it?
Finest stand of red clovers ever seen.
Right, huh?
Yeah, tell you right now, made me wish I had a cow to turn into.
Well, Dad Burnett, you couldn't turn a cow into it if you had one.
What?
We don't live here in Squidville.
That's so. Is this the jail?
Yeah, that's it. Come on.
All right, now just hold on a minute.
Now, what's the matter?
We got to hold a council of war.
Now, what are you talking about?
I said we'd have to hold a council of war.
Where's the war?
There ain't no war.
Then what in tarnation have to hold a council for?
Listen, we're going to get Hector out of jail, ain't we?
Yeah, but Dad Burnett, we ain't going to take the jail by storm, Mr. Summer says.
Guess I know that as well as you do.
Well, go ahead and hammer on the door.
No, sir. Now, wait a minute. By cracky, I ain't going to hammer a single thump if we have an understanding about what we're going to do.
What's that?
I said we got to have an understanding.
Now, but I do understand you.
Well, I don't understand you.
I ain't said nothing. Why?
Oh, shucks, you're getting crazier every day.
I ain't.
You are.
I ain't tell you I ain't.
I tell you you are. Consonant, I tell you absolutely.
Gentlemen, I find this raucous noise very, very disturbing.
Oh, hello, Hector there. Well,
how do you do, Hector?
Where in tarnation you come from?
Now, that is a question upon which some of our best minds differ. One school, for instance, holds that we came originally from the sea.
Oh, shucks, Hector. We don't care nothing about what they say in school at all.
If you believe that we come from the sea, you naturally refer to a school of fish.
I tell you, I don't care what they say in school.
That would be natural of an intelligent man like yourself. Schools of fish open and close their mouths, but they seldom say anything.
Hector, Dag never...
Because, after all, what could a fish say? What would be the slightest interest to anyone but another fish?
Hector, we came up here all the way from Corn Center to talk to you.
And I assure you, I appreciate it. I'm afraid I have not been the perfect host. Come into my library.
Come on, Ed.
I can't see that these bars are of the slightest use.
What?
They are too far apart to keep out the mosquitoes and not strong enough to keep out elephants. Here. Try this more, child, Mr. Peters.
Sit in that box, Eb, and don't ask no questions, man.
I'm sure you will enjoy the comfort of that hand-carved Chesterfield, Mr. Winterbottom.
Chesterfield looks to me like a homemade bunk.
Why, so it does, Judge. It's funny, I never noticed it before. We'll stay here in my den for the present, but I must show you the house before you leave.
Well, is there more than this room?
My dear fellow, my dear man, you don't think for a moment that I would live in a house with only one room.
Well, what kind of rooms have you got? Bedrooms?
Yes, we have bedrooms, and we have good rooms, too. Then we have other rooms that are neither good nor bad.
Dad Burnett, I said bedrooms.
There is so much bed in the best of us that the good and the worst of us behoves the best of us not to make wisecracks about you and I and the gatepost. That's Shakespeare, you see.
Then I don't think much of Shakespeare.
Hurry up, Jeb. Let you down to business.
Now, that's what I'm trying to do.
And I must show you our ballroom.
Oh, what are you talking about? You ain't got no ballroom.
Oh, yes. Why, Mr. Wittenbottom, how can you stand there and say that? Yes, we have a ball and chain room. And there is the prince's suite. You must see that and meet the prince.
Congratulations, Hector. What kind of a prince would stay in the Squidville jail?
Fingerprints.
What?
And the blue room.
Oh, by hokey, I got you. I know there ain't no blue room.
That's right. The blue room is over the vacant lot next door.
Why, you darned ignoramus, you can't have a room over a vacant lot.
Mr. Winterbottom, I'm surprised that you should say such a thing.
Well, it's so, and you know darn well it's so.
On the contrary, there is always room over a vacant lot.
Now, Hector, hold on a minute now.
Oh, yes, certainly. I beg your pardon, yes.
Now, wait a minute. The constable tells me the county's getting tired of feeding you.
I don't believe I quite caught that.
I say the constable.
Oh, speaking of constable, I've been working on a new scientific experiment, which I'm sure will interest you, Mr. Whitney, about them.
Well, what has that got to do with the constable?
Simply this. We take a jackass and a mockingbird. You can judge for yourself how the constable fits in the scheme of things.
I guess you might as well go on.
We take a nice, resonant jackass, and by means of a delicate operation, graft a part of the brain of a mockingbird into the brain of the jackass, you see.
Oh, it's all a pack of foolishness. What do you do that for?
As you perhaps know, the voice of the jackass has excellent carrying power, but this song is very uncool.
It seems to be none too harmonious, I'll admit that.
In fact, one might say ribald.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
But with the brain of the mockingbird grafted into that of the jackass, just think what will happen.
What will happen?
The jackass will then sing with his characteristic gusto.
His what?
His characteristic gusto. But with this difference.
What difference?
His song will be the sweet song of the mockingbird.
Dagnabbit, Hector, I never heard of such a fool idea in my life.
My friend, Mr. Winterbottom, it is destined to revolutionize the calliope industry.
Well, what do you think of it, Deb?
I don't think you'd have her to go finding jackass.
Well, anyway, Hector, we came over here to ask you about this jail business.
Being a jailbird is not a business. It's a profession.
Well, you call it whatever you've a mind to. We want to know how long you intend to keep it up.
Mr. Whittlebottom, there are times when everyone should be up and doing, as the poet has so aptly phrased it.
Well, that's right, Hector. That's right. There's a time when we ought to be up and doing. That's just what I'm driving at.
And there are other times when one should seek repose, a quiet folding of the hands, a period of waiting.
Well, now, what I'm driving
at... You said that twice. Speaking of driving, did you ever drive a golf ball into a lake and have a nice big fish swallow it?
You know darn well I never did.
It makes the fish very sick.
Well, naturally.
No, artificially.
And, Dad, Bernie Texas, we want you to quit all this foolishness and get out of jail.
That is very, very kind of you, I'm sure.
You've been here long enough.
I can tell you from your tone that you have reached a conclusion after due and careful consideration.
Yes, sir, that's what we have. We've worried a heap about your predicament, and we wanted to help you.
You mean you actually want to help me?
We'd do anything in reason for you, Hector.
Oh, would you?
Anything in reason.
Would you get me some good Wild West stories out of the Squidgeville Library?
No, sir. Dad Burnett, we won't.
Oh, then would you get me some nice sea stories? They won't have to be very good sea stories, just so they're sea stories.
No, sir, I won't get you no sea stories neither.
How about some stories of the Foreign Legion?
No, sir, no stories about the Foreign Legion or the American Legion.
Then perhaps you could suggest some books that you would be willing to get for me.
Now, listen here. I want you to set up on your hind feet and listen while I talk, and I ain't going to repeat. We won't get you any books at all. Eb and me want you to leave this jail and quit this dad-darn foolishness.
That's quite impossible. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, I can't neither. Mrs. Zell has dropped her charge, and the constable, and his wife, too, and his whole family, and the people of Squidgeville is tired of feeding you.
But I must think of the constable's wife.
What in tarnation have you got to think about her for?
Because she's been very considerate of me, that's why. And she'd be hurt if I left now, when she had promised me some apple turnovers when the apples were ripe. That's why.
Well, I'd be eternally dead boom. Do you mean to tell me you're just staying around for a mess of apple turnovers?
No, indeed. The principal reason is that I must wait for two more issues of the monthly magazine, Terrible Tales.
What in tarnation do you want to wait for that for?
I'm reading a fine continuous story. It's called Poison Cold.
Well, I'll be devil-lacking.
Yes, it's called Poison Gold. Oh, it's a very, very fine story, Mr. Winterbottom. All about a young man who was put in jail.
What's that?
A young man who was put in jail for a crime committed by two other men who were his friends.
You're sure that's just a story?
Certainly it's a story. There's a woman mixed up in it, too.
You got that out of the magazine, you say?
Terrible Tales, the name of the magazine. That's the name of it, yes.
You ain't just making that up.
Of course not. I'm at a loss to know why you should ask.
I just wanted to know.
I'll bet you in the end those men and that woman will be sorry that they ever ran afoul of the hero.
Now, come on, Eb. Let's go home. Let's be going home.